It is 2021, and this is I Should Be Writing number, well, I'm changing it up. Why keep the same numbering system after 17 years? Something like that? Yeah. 16, 17, I can't keep up. Anyway, it's season 17, episode 1. If you're a stickler, it is episode 552. Happy New Year. I am entitling this episode, Grim and Determined We Face 2021. On one hand, I try not to be a Pollyanna when it comes to New Year's resolutions, especially since, you know, our little club of writing people tend to be up there with the resolutions. I'm gonna write that novel this year. There's my resolution. And then, you know, we fail in February and hate yourself. But on the other hand, we all do like that sense of a fresh calendar turning a new start. A lot of people had hope for the new year with vaccine and change in administration, and other people are saying, well, don't hope too much because it's not going to be fixed overnight. And I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to find a happy medium because I refuse to dampen my hope because someone else is a pessimist. They can be as grim as they want to be. I'm grim and determined, and I'm determined to do my best to make this year better. Hey, Vivid Muse, I haven't talked to you in forever, and we still have Santa and the Bazooka telling me who's followed. Lovely to see you. Miss you. Be nice if we ever got into a con again with the new year. That would be nice. I am not willing to say everything is crap and it's going to continue to be crap and a new number is not going to change anything. I'm also not going to say that everything's going to be perfect because we turned a calendar year and the dreadful 2020 is no longer around, because that's illogical. But, you know, don't be Neil deGrasse Tyson, who just pees on any amount of joy people feel. I mean, so we have joy when something reaches a round number. Who cares? Why is it bothering him? But he feels the need to go on Twitter and pee on everybody's parade by saying, well, it just means blah, blah, blah. And we're like, yeah, and that gives me joy. I'm going to have joy. You can't take it away from me. Anyway. Hey, Sybil Rose, good to see you. Hey, Cheryl. So anyway, one thing I don't like about January is a lot of people want to start streaks around this time. Writing streaks, running streaks, exercise streaks. And, you know, I kind of take New Year's Day off. You know, if I'm not, let's just be honest, if I'm not hungover, I'm probably still just chilling out. I don't want to start a grand writing experiment. I don't want to start exercising. So then there's the second, which isn't the first, so we've already screwed up that happy, perfect year thing. And then by the time the fourth comes around, which was this year's Monday, you're kind of back into life, and it doesn't feel so fresh. But right now, I am doing what I said I wouldn't do, and being grim and realistic when I wanted to take joy. I just started a goals class. It's an actual class I had to pay for, and it has meetings, actual Zoom meetings, not, you know, watch at any time, which we talked about yesterday in the Discord about being, actually, those classes have a major flaw, which is we all know that if you don't get around to it, you know, if you don't have time for it now, you probably won't make time for it in the future. This is the problem all beginning writers have, which is someday I'll have that time to write that book. You probably won't, because you're not working to make the time right now. Now, there are people out there with chronic health issues or newborns or other people they have to care for. And I understand if legitimately you really don't have the time or the mental energy to start writing right now, and things will change in the future. I know that those situations exist, but more people needlessly say they'll do it when they get time. The time will not come. You have to make it. So, I don't even remember where I was going with this. That's great. That's good podcasting right here, people. I got distracted by the chat, the old chat from Christmas, and the chatbot thing. So sorry about that. The thing is, right, the coaching thing. Right, that's where I was going. Oh Lord, help me. The coaching thing, the classes. People tend to buy these classes and say, especially when they're on sale, and not do them. And I'm guilty of it. I'm not pointing any fingers before pointing them at myself, which is why this class is useful, because it's forcing me to put aside the time to do it. And I'm going to need to put aside time for the homework as well. But we will see, if I can put aside this time for homework. But I'm really trying to put aside the time for writing right now. Let's check back into chat. Phased Out has one resolution. I'm getting married in a tux and a kilt. That sounds like a great resolution to me. Taking Joy, I managed to order the toothpaste I like from Brexit Land, and it's below the customs threshold. Yay me. Well, you do need to take the Joy where you can. I found the rum that I like that's sold in England and lost its U.S. distributor. I found another distributor for it and was very happy about that. Books and Yarn, I didn't write anything in December. I finally did a timed 10-minute writing today. It was crap, but it was something. It was not crap. Don't you say that. First, don't say it about yourself if you wouldn't say it about a friend. Really. Nothing is getting gained by this. Nothing is getting gained. The important thing is you did it. And you took a big step that a lot of us didn't. Hey, Sario, good to see you. Is it cracking? No, I can get cracking anywhere. No, the rum is called Rumbullion. Billy Boy says, if I were king of the world, I would start the new year in the spring, like around Easter time. Better weather. Yeah, it doesn't make sense that it's midwinter. I don't get it. I just don't. But, so yeah, don't, if you're not going to say it about a friend, don't say it about yourself. Be kind to yourself. Secondly, I am trying to remind myself, and I remember this earlier last year, and then because of everything that happened in 2020, I lost it again, but I just recently reminded myself of it. Showing up is like 90% of the work. Showing up. It's like whenever I went out for a run, I would tell myself it didn't matter how good or bad the run went, how fast I felt, how hot I got, how sweaty I got, what my time was, because I'd already won the battle just by getting out there. If you sit down to write, that is the hardest thing. And which is weird, because actual writing is what takes the mental effort, while sitting down in the chair to write is just, walking over and turning on the computer or getting out a notebook. But for some reason, our brains say, no, that's much harder. So I did some math, and I determined that showing up is 90% of the work. Avoiding distractions is 9%, and actually doing the work is 1%. You can fix your own percentages around as you like, but that's how I'm seeing it. Basically, if I'm getting it, if I'm getting there and doing things and not looking at phone or email or Twitter or Slack or Discord, then I've already won. I kind of have to do the work in order to get paid, so that level of winning is a little different, but what are you going to do? What else we got going on? Michelle says, if it's any consolation, I've not written since May of last year due to multiple personal emergencies draining all my energy. See, yeah, that's awful, Michelle. I'm sorry. Right now I'm taking joy in the fact that I feel like writing again. I actually managed to get a blog post out, and I'm proud of those 250 words. You should be. You should be damn proud. It's you know, when we... You did the thing. You did the really hard thing, which was showing up. Books and Yarn, I just got diagnosed with ADHD yesterday. It's making me shift some of my goals this year and is taking taking it easier on me. So, yes, thank you. Writing is writing. Yes. It's a rough thing. I sort of assume that most people listening to this are adults, and I'm hearing more and more people diagnosed as adults, like myself. It's a weird thing. Saria says, spring equinox is the best time for New Year's. Phased Out is leaving because of angry meowing. So, go be good, human slave. Loved it. Lovely to see you, Phased Out. Wow, I really... Who decided to make the red names? I'm sorry, I'm having trouble reading it. I'm old. Parasol? I think that's your name. Hello? Atomic Habits by James Clear goes into great detail about how to form habits you want. He uses writing as an example. Great book. I have had that recommended to me so many times in the research I've been doing and in people mentioning it. I have it on audiobook. I really need to sit down and pay attention to it. I think I like audiobooks with nonfiction because I can listen to them anywhere, but I worry I don't retain a lot because I'm not giving it my full attention. So maybe I should just do paperback when it comes to nonfiction books. Man, my handwriting's terrible. Atomic Habits is sitting on Books and Yarns bookshelf. What's funny is I did hear one thing about something he says about how goals don't work. And I'm not sure I buy into that, especially because I'm now spending money to take a course on goal setting, so I don't want to admit they don't work because I just spent the money on it. But, you know, I think just as in writing, it's important to do, to get what you can out of any system you have. And if you can cobble together something that works for you, then that's all that's necessary. Sorry, I can't do audiobooks because I can't keep my focus on them. I understand. I find audiobooks good for books that I find boring parts on. I remember, this is dating myself, but I listened to Neal Stephenson's The Diamond Age on cassette tapes. And I was only able to do that because I could fast forward the part where the... little girl is learning computing by the Turing Machine fairy tale. I know that the young lady's illustrated primer was trying to make the Turing Machine into an entertaining tale, but it was boring as hell. And if you like the idea of reading about clever Turing Machine stuff, more power to you. I don't. Hey, Anne, good to see you. My poetry book is on Audible, Apple Books, and Amazon. Well, congratulations. Was that published today? I'm sorry. The Atomic Habits say goals work, but that you should focus on figuring out the process and then always show up. Yes, that's all the goal stuff I'm learning about is the process. You don't focus on, like, losing 10 pounds. You focus on walking an hour a day or something. I've been at this desk for quite some time today. Sorry. So has anybody ever get results from resolutions? Because I always wonder why we do them. It's like weight loss articles. And I mean, if the weight loss articles actually worked, then they would have to stop writing weight loss articles and find something else to write about. But they don't work, but they keep writing them. And the books. And I think it's the same with resolutions. Yeah. Nope, never. I don't make resolutions, I make goals, says Anne. I don't think I've ever had them work either. The biggest goal habit change I've ever done was when Tony Pasquale's magic spreadsheet kept me writing every day back in the early teens. That was very useful. But then the day I actually broke my streak was devastating, and I didn't want to start back up again. So there's that flaw. Similar to, I love Habit RPG, or I guess it's called Habitica now, sorry. That's the little RPG to-do list online. Once I actually reached level 100 and found all the pets, I lost interest. Which speaks to them, you know, well, how well they designed it, but once I achieved everything, I didn't have anything else to do. And I knew I could reset, and I tried that, and it didn't work. I have weird things that, I'm having trouble holding on to words today. It's all that writing I did this morning. weird things that inspire me or fail to inspire me. It's a strange thing. Underpope says, I decide on areas of focus rather than resolutions. This year I'm focusing on writing and health. That's a great idea, Underpope. Saria says, I think most people do resolutions because they feel like they have to rather than because they actually want to do the thing. Yeah, I don't want to do the thing either. I'm thinking, I need to get running again. I really do. But it's cold outside. Yeah. So there you are. That's my problem. I learned something today, and it was terrible. I did something sloppy. I wrote a script in Final Draft. And I am new to Final Draft, but I've gotten to where I can use it pretty well. So I saved the file, and then because I didn't want to wrestle with loading a template, I just started writing the second file on top of the first one, thinking, well, I can revert back to the first one if I have to, and I can save the second one, you know, save as episode 2 kind of thing. But I didn't know that Final Draft had a autosave feature, air quotes around the feature, that is by default turned on. So, yeah, I started writing over the old file with the new file. That was great. Which only took me about half an hour to fix because I had plugged in my external hard drive and had set my time machine to go. So I didn't lose a lot. But the truth is yeah, the truth is it did piss me off, and I lost a lot of concentration trying to cobble together the first script. And then I found out after all of this, when I found the auto save button, I also found that they keep constant backups. Final Draft keeps on constant backups. So somewhere in Final Draft's backups is my first episode, so that was a good waste of time there. Waste of time, break of concentration, all that stuff. But I did get writing done. And the story is going in a direction I didn't anticipate, which I should have anticipated because that always happens to me. But it's a little annoying because I have done a detailed outline, and going off script means I get more excited about the story, but it also goes away from the approved outline, which is one problem, and if I followed the outline, then I would know what to write. Whereas now I'm without a map. So I don't know how detailed I'm going to get. I think a lot of the main plot points are going to remain, but a lot of the little character details, where people are from, what motivates them, are going to change a bit. But that's okay. I gotta roll with the punches. It's a pantser way of living. Sario tried Habitica. It didn't really fit with my day-to-day tasks. Vivid Muse resolutions are most useful for remembering what was most important to me as the previous year ended. Don't expect I'll resolve the issue right away. It's more like a note to self as I walk through a portal in the hopes I won't forget it. That is, that's smart. That's a good way of looking at it. Billy Boy says New Year's resolutions may not work, but they show the person making them what is important in their lives. Yeah, but that kind of makes me sad. That people would... If this is what's important and I'm not addressing it. That's... Yeah. We were talking about doing an exercise about looking at yourself in the future. And no one else said that one of their hobbies is computer games. I was the only person who said that. And I'm still not ashamed of it. I just think they were lying. Hey, Tish, good to see you. I found your YouTube channel and subscribed to it the other day. Everybody check out Tish on YouTube if you want live write-ins. You do live write-ins early in the morning, don't you, Tish? Or, like, 5 Central? Hey, Frigg's daughter, good to see you. Happy New Year, at least happy 2020 is over. I don't have resolutions since I always break them and feel like crap. I do have a spreadsheet with writing goals, though. I would love to hear your writing goals and about said spreadsheet. Please give us as much or little information as you can, because I love the idea of spreadsheets. I just never remember to update them. Yes, Tish does live writings at 5 a.m. Central. So if you're up around that time, check it out. And for those of you listening later, I'll put that in the show notes. This is streaming on YouTube, I believe. See, this is the problem of keeping show notes as I'm going. It's like it feels efficient, but then I have to stop talking and go to show notes. Oh, hey, Senator Mendoza. Thank you for subscribing. Really appreciate it. My wife is a big fan of your podcast. I promised I would pop in and gift our Amazon Prime sub. That is so sweet. Thank you. Well, tell your wife hello. I hope she gets a chance to drop in as well. But yes, back to Tish. That's Tish Bouvier, Bouvier. It'll be in the show notes, and you can check out her videos on YouTube. I think the more writers we have streaming and podcasting, the better supported we all feel. Give a shout out to Carrie for me. Carrie, thank you. Keep writing, and hope you get to join one of our live streams one day. So please drop on by, and thank you for subscribing, or thank you for Senator Mendoza subscribing. Frigg's daughter says, I managed to find the one online, had to pay for it, but seeing the amount of work that went into it, I really don't mind. I got it off the website of Jamie Raintree. I can plug in 10 projects, and it's working so far. So we're back to the spreadsheet idea. Yeah, there are a lot of a lot of different options. I saw, I can't believe I actually sat down and started filling this out and built, first I had to build it and then I had to fill it out. Somebody on Reddit had taken every hour of their year and color-coded it to be sleep, study, family time, friend time, wasting time, gaming, you know, basically taking all the important things in their lives and giving it a color, and they filled out every hour of the year, which made a fascinating thing to view, especially when March hit and you could see everything change because of the lockdown. And, but it was like January 3rd, I think, I tried to fill one out for myself, trying to remember what I had done the previous days. And then I'm like, there's no freaking way I'm going to keep up with all of this. I mean, it feels like keeping up with that would be a full-time job. Like, work on this spreadsheet would be one of the things you would have to fill out. But, you know, kudos to the person who did it, because seeing that big block in, as, you know, 1 year of looking at your time was really interesting. Let's see. Thanks for the shout out. You're welcome, Tish. Thank you for all the support you've given me. Sybil Rose, I started last year setting a resolution type goal for each month to try to build new habits, different habits. Some have stuck and some and worked, at least in that I do some of the things more often than I had before the month goal. You know, I'm at the point in my life where I'm taking, if I do something that I would not have done otherwise, I'm going to call it a win. That's why I don't feel bad about, you know, losing NaNoWriMo, because I still wrote more than I would have. And do you want me to email the links to my podcast and YouTube channel? Sure, Anne, go ahead. The level of detail in that Redditor is impressive and scary indeed, Frigg's daughter. Parasol, the whiteboard with the word count on it, my writing area keeps me motivated. I use Excel all day at work, so I avoid it in my off hours. They're just tedious to keep up with. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know enough Excel tricks to really make them as powerful as they are. Saria says, I like spreadsheets, but ADD means keeping up with anything keeping anything updated is hard. Yeah, that's a problem I have too. Really. I think I mentioned this yesterday on the AMA, but somebody had mentioned a Stardew Valley bullet journal, and I got excited. I don't know why I got excited, because it was either going to be two things. It was either going to be somebody putting in their bullet journal all the details about Stardew Valley, which includes every single person, every single NPC, and the gifts that they like and when their birthday is, which is fine, but I can look it up online a lot faster. Or just taking their everyday bullet journal layouts and putting like Stardew Valley type art around it. And as you can see by looking at my background and the little void chicken on my shoulder, I love Stardew Valley. I really do. But, yeah, I'm not, I can't draw in my style. So I'm definitely not going to take time to try to copy the Stardew Valley style, take hours drawing, and then feel bad about myself because I couldn't do it. I don't know why I got excited about the Stardew Valley bullet journal. Under Pope, I had a dream last night that I was buying washi tape, which is weird because my bujo is very, very minimal. No artwork or fanciness at all. I have a friend who claims to be addicted to washi tape. I've never gotten into it. I think that's probably for the best, because I'd like put one strip down, wonder what the point was, and then wonder why I spent the money or feel bad that I'm not artistic enough to even use pretty tape in an attractive way. I'm the kind of person that could mess up pretty tape. Yeah. I need plain washi tape, which apparently nobody sells. What is the point of plain washi tape? If you don't know, washi tape, I believe, is very thin roll of tape where you can use to make borders or decorate your bullet journals. Any journal, scrapbooking, all that stuff, but I've heard it most mentioned while people talk about bullet journals. So please, Sario, tell me about what plain washi tape is used for. I'm fascinated. Drawing sounds like a hand cramp. I just put stickers in mine. That's a good idea, Parasol. Reinforcement repairs on disc-bound planter pages. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. That's what plain washi tape's good for. Wouldn't you just use scotch tape, though? I guess washi tape is thinner. I don't know. Getting off on a big tangent here. Let's see. I'm looking for that information. Sorry, I found it. Rain Tree, I think, is who mentioned the... Who mentioned the spreadsheet they got from Rain Tree? Because I want to write that down and put that in the show notes. If you don't mind, please mention that again if you're here. Or I'll try to find it. Before my deadlines started to loom and I was keeping before my deadline started to loom and before my streaming situation was going all to hell, I actually wow, the brain is not working today, y'all. I am so sorry. Really. I had planned on posting little visual word counts. A lot of people put like follower counts, or they put how much money they're raising for charity. I was gonna put up my word counts for my works in progress so I could stay accountable to you guys. Unfortunately, I have not had time to even come up with a good overlay for 2021, so I have not come up with a good word count thingy. So I'm going to try to do that. That's going to be where I am. That's going to be where I'm going to be posting most of my stuff. Oh, thanks for the subscribe, Tish. Oh no, you're gifting subs. Yay! Awesome. Thank you for the gift subs. I don't know if anyone's ever done that in my stream before. That's very exciting. Thank you for, Oh, Frigg's daughter mentioned the Jamie Raintree spreadsheet. Thank you, Frigg's daughter. Thank you for the gift subs. Really appreciate that. Oh, Shale says sewing quilting stores used to sell a masking tape that was a quarter of an inch. That might do the trick. Not to go off on a tangent, but my sweater looks super cozy. My sweater is super cozy. Yes, I bought it because it is super cozy. I actually have been sitting in this room with the lights, the actual streaming lights on for quite some time, and I'm actually getting a little too warm, but I was cold yesterday and decided that I was going to go all wintry today and go super cozy. So, Tish is in a happy mood. Thank you. Well, I'm glad you're sharing with other people. That's very sweet. But we are coming up on, well, probably only about 40 minutes because I struggled with launching this dang thing. But wanted to know if anybody had any feedback or questions they wanted to bring up before we end this thing. I think I did just get a, Nope. My bad. I got a note about bonjouros I have to do. I should be mentioning, sending people greetings via bonjouro to video links to thank them for subscribing. I always think, I'll just do those as they come in, then they won't pile up. And you know what? You can probably guess what happens. They pile up. Yeah, that's what they do. So, but yes, I will get to those shortly for the new Patreon supporters. In, in Patreon news, I'm almost done with my postcards. I actually need to find some postcard stamps, which is harder than you expect, probably because of pandemic and the gutting of the U.S. Postal Service. And postcard stamps are not sold at the grocery store. But I need to get those, and so I'll be getting those Patreon notes out, and the first of the birthday cards, because some of you have January birthdays. But I'll also be working on some original fiction this month for different levels of the Patreon. And I got a couple other things up my sleeve. That's right, I have to schedule the first Kick in the Pants workshop. I almost forgot. That would have been awful. I was actually getting excited about that. If you did not hear last year, I don't have the mental energy, or as some say, the spoons, to run a workshop. I mean, I have podcasting to do, streaming to do, my own writing projects, and the idea of teaching a workshop just kind of gives me an anxiety attack just thinking about it. So I thought better would be, but I could give prompts, and then I could have a little party in the Discord to talk about prompts. So my new plan is to send out a prompt, and then 30 minutes later, everybody meet in the Discord, and you can read your stuff and get a friendly group critique. I'll have very strict rules. You can talk about how the prompt worked for you or didn't work for you, and any problems you may have had. You can ask for advice. So instead of like a major story workshop that will take hours, and you probably will have to wait several workshops before you actually get to your story, it's just going to be a short thing. It's going to be a vignette. It's going to be a prompt. So it's called The Writing Kick in the Pants. It's available on the, I believe, the $7 Patreon level. And I will post more information about that and mention it more in next I Should Be Writing, which will be Thursday. First rejection of the year under Pope. Wow. Now you remind me I need to put in confetti and celebration and hoorays in my stream, because that deserves a stream. If you are new to me, we celebrate rejections. Do you know why we celebrate directions? Well, rejections, even if you did not, even if you do know, I can't hear you say it, but I'm going to say it back to you, which is we celebrate rejections because our working writers get rejections. People who don't write don't get rejections. So if you are getting rejections, you are a working writer. It sucks, but it's like if you're getting punched, you're going to your martial arts class. And that's really all there is to it. There's going to be some punches, but you're not going to get punched if you don't go. And you can just talk about someday you'll go to a martial arts class. Well, someday you'll write, and then you'll get rejected. I'm sorry. It's going to happen. So, congratulations, Under Pope. Pretend I'm throwing confetti. I will make this stream look good in the future. Complete with confetti. I'm looking forward to the confetti. Okay. Saria says, I'm having a problem buying new books, but keep rereading the same few books. That is familiar. I think a lot of us reread stuff for comfort. And reading a new book is strangely a scary commitment. Whereas, you know, if you pick up an old book, an old favorite, you can read part of it and put it down because you know how it's going to end. You just read your favorite part, skip over the boring parts, whatever. But if you pick up a new book, even if it's super exciting and from your favorite author, you're just like, oh, that's something completely new I'm going to have to give all my attention to. And I'm saying this because it happens to me all the time. I keep buying books, indeed, but I'm also just, maybe I'll listen to this book again because I really liked listening to it the other five times. Billy Boy, do you have any thoughts about the difference between an autobiography and a memoir? I think the memoir has some room for artistic interpretation. That's the wrong word. But I think the memoir has a people can be a little bit more creative with the memoir. Maybe not tell the entire truth, maybe fudge a little here or there to make a cleaner narrative. This is not autobiography or memoir, but for example, if you know American history, you know that there are some things in Hamilton which are wrong or moved about because of the way Manuel Miranda wanted to structure his stories. Oh, thanks for subscribing, Alevar. Welcome. But yeah, it's similar to what he did with Hamilton in changing a couple of dates or changing a couple of the things that happened. A memoir is going to be massaged here and tightened up there. I believe Ruth Reichel, I can't remember how to pronounce her last name. I think what she writes are memoirs. And she is the person who taught me that memoirs can be entertaining. This is somebody who always liked to read fantasy and science fiction. And I read, I think it was Tender at the Bone. She's a food writer. And she's a brilliant storyteller. So she tells her history based on food memories. And it's brilliant. And I'm pretty sure she massage some things here and there. So I think memoir gives you a little bit more leeway. You know, you're not gonna get away with leaving out a major part of your history that everybody knows about. And you're not gonna get far. Well, you might get a bestseller, but then Oprah might call you out if you invent something huge like a drug addiction problem. But dates, you know, you might take two people from your past who don't really factor into the story very much and combine them. But autobiography, I believe, is supposed to be this is what happened. Which, you know, hats off to anybody who can write those, because my memory's crap. They probably do stuff like keep journals or something. Speaking of journals, I think David Sedaris, he keeps constant journals, but I think what he writes are closer to creative nonfiction memoirs than autobiographies, because he has fully admitted that he has changed stories to, you know, be more humorous. Let's see. Oh, Rob Hines writer. Kate, thanks for coming in. Good. Sario wants me to hydrate. I am behind on chat. Anne says, sometimes it's that way with music. I love finding newer stuff, but I keep listening to my favorites over and over. Yeah, I still have the new Clipping album. In plastic, even. It's over here. See? It's the new Clipping album in plastic. But I loved their last Halloween album so much that I'm listening to that a lot more than the Visions of Bodies Being Burned. So they're both Halloween concept albums. This is just the second one. But what I've heard about it, I like it. But the other Clipping albums are more comfortable for me. Let's see. Sario blames that T. Kingfisher person. They keep writing very fluffy books. What do you blame T. Kingfisher for? Which part? T. Kingfisher, I missed what you're referring to. I'm sorry, Sario. But T. Kingfisher is responsible for a lot of the terribleness in the world. Like chunky necklaces and hats. And brilliant writing. And being too wonderful of a person that you can't actually dislike them for their brilliant writing. I love to find, Anne says, I love to find new books to read, but my TBR pile just keeps growing before I get a chance to read them all. From what I've heard on various podcasts and from a memoir author, an autobiography is a book about a person's entire life, or a memoir is a book about one memorable time in an author's life. Okay. I could barely write an autobio about this morning, says Rob. I'm sorry, Rob. I probably could. It wouldn't be very interesting, though. One of Connie Willis's Christmas short stories is called Newsletter, and it's one of my favorites of her Christmas short stories. But it's about how everybody in this woman's life writes a Christmas newsletter, and some of them lie amazingly. And some of them keep it like a diary. They say one thing that happened every day of the year. So it's like, froze to death getting the newspaper. Snow got inside the plastic bag. Had to dry it out on the radiator. January 2nd. And then onward. It's very funny. And then the worst part was the person who tried to write their Christmas letter in verse. Only it's some of the worst poetry because it doesn't scan and it barely rhymes. But you can tell it's trying to scan and rhyme. So it feels like someone's playing music one note off. It's awful. Writing that bad of poetry takes a special skill. It really does. Oh, I see. Sario's complaining about T. Kingfisher's books being so fluffy and comfortable. They keep rereading those instead of getting to new books. Yes, T. Kingfisher does also write very, very comfortable books. Dang, I miss her. Stupid pandemic. Parasol says, I keep trying to finish Brandon Sanderson's newest book, but keep rereading short story collections. Yeah. A lot of times when I'm going to clean up books, that's a very dangerous thing for me because it's often, you often devolve into, oh, I haven't read this in forever, and then you just sit down and read. When you're supposed to be cleaning up, and then your spouse comes in the room, and there's books everywhere, and they're like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm reading! There are books here! What do you expect from me? Yeah. The Twisted Ones equals very cozy, right? Well, maybe not the Twisted Ones. Maybe not. Maybe not that one. T. Kingfisher also writes horror, yes. So if you see a T. Kingfisher book, read the back. Make sure you're getting the genre that you want. They're all good. How did she put a freaking jump scare in a book? I told you, she's so talented, it annoys me. Yeah, I still remember the hangover I had the day after she got her first book deal. I was very jealous. We celebrated, but I drank because of jealousy, I'll admit it. So, you know, the next day she had a book deal and I had a hangover, so. Yay! I caught up. You shouldn't, don't compare yourself with anybody else's career. You're gonna move at your own pace, and that's okay. But I will tell you about my embarrassing things in the past, just to let you know that you're not alone. You're not. If you're feeling left out or left behind or looked over or untalented or anything, you're not alone. And you're wrong because your career is going to move at the pace in which it's going to move. You just got to keep showing up and letting it move. And there I've gone full circle talking about the percentages of writing, which is just showing up. And I'm very proud of myself with tying that to a neat little bow. So if you have any more questions for me, let me know very shortly. Otherwise, you can email me at mightymer@gmail.com. See the blog and show notes at merverse.com. On YouTube, if you want to catch this later and the VOD has expired, if you want to catch the video later and the VOD has expired on Twitch, on YouTube, it's Mer Lafferty. And on Twitch, it's Mighty Mer. Also, you can support the Patreon at Mighty Mer. Patreon.com/Mighty Mer. Yeah, that's me. I have books and I have podcasts and I co-edit a short fiction magazine. I wear a lot of hats. And I really think that you should be writing. You shouldn't be doing resolutions if you don't want to. You shouldn't have to do spreadsheets unless you want to. Whatever tool works for you to get you writing, you should use it. Remember, you can support the show at patreon.com/mightymer. I should be writing theme music provided by John Anilio. You can find more about him at johnanilio.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license.